الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Who is a person of good akhlaq? What are the attributes which, if a person has, one can see as good akhlaq? Last time we mentioned this first attribute, which is that a person should always speak the truth. There is another quality attribute that is mentioned in the Quran and very frequently in a hadith mubarakah, that is sila rahmi. Sila rahmi in English means that a person maintains their family ties. It's the act of having good behavior to our relatives, to our neighbors, to keep good relations with our relatives, to strengthen the bonds of kinship. It means to join relations with our relatives, with our neighbors, maintain communication with them, not to sever bonds. This is called sila rahmi. The opposite of sila rahmi, those people who sever relations with their relatives, with their close families, don't meet with them, don't communicate with them, they terminate their bonds, sever those bonds, they don't even say salam or make dua for the other person, they don't attend in their occasions of joy and sadness. This is a very big sin in Sharia, which is called qata'i rahmi. In Sharia, sila rahmi is a very important act. And when Allah Ta'ala in Quran mentions the attributes of pious people, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also mentions as one of their attributes that they maintain and form relations with their relatives and with the neighbors. وَالَّذِينَ يَسِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. That they maintain those relationships which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has commanded to be maintained. Hazrat Amr radiallahu ta'ala, He narrates that it was the initial days of the Nubuwwat of the Prophet ﷺ. I was not yet a Muslim, and I came to Makkah Mukarrama, and I asked the Prophet ﷺ that Man Anta, who are you? And the Prophet ﷺ replied that Ana Nabiyun, I am a Nabi. So Ma Huwa Nabiyun, who is a Nabi? And the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Ta'ala has sent me. So I asked that Bi Ayyi Shayin in Arsala. Bi Ayyi Shayin, that what is the main message with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent you? And Qal, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has sent me with the message of Silatul Rahim, which means that the central core foundational feature of this message of Islam is this teaching of Sila Rahmi, joining these bonds that a person has with their close relatives. Many people, they want to have a long life, and if you look at the Mahal society that we live in, people do a lot of effort in order to get this. They exercise regularly, they have a treadmill at home, people work out half an hour every day, they watch their diet, they go for medical checkup frequently. Why? The purpose is that I want my days to be full of barakah, my life to be long, my health to be fine, I want my sihat to be perfect. We see this even in women and also men, that they are dieting, they're controlling their weight. It seems as if we are making a lot of efforts, and we are using different kinds of creams, anti-aging creams, in order to appear fresh. Sometimes people go to Hakim and ask for certain prescription, that what can I eat, what should I do. There is one thing that is mentioned in the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, he said that whoever wants to have a long life, whoever wishes for a long life, and who also wants that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should put wusa in that person's rizq, Allah expands, puts barakah in that rizq, then that person should do sila rahmi. Sila rahmi, that they should be good with their relatives. Even if other person does harm, they provide some izar to you, some difficulty to you, person responds with sabr. If they want to break ties with you, your intention is that you want to join ties with them. They make it difficult for you, but you respond with kindness. You want that relationship to remain intact. This is called sila rahmi. And if we can also begin to use this prescription today, we'll see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakah in our life. Allah ta'ala will expand our rizq. Allah ta'ala will put barakah in our rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a very fulfilling life, long years. This is how a person can get those long years, fulfilling years, and rizq, and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is saying, that through sila rahmi, a person gets barakah in their umr, in their age, in their years, in their wealth, in their house there is sukoon, there is tranquility. Then there is another question which a person might have, that we don't just want long life, or we just don't want to have a very healthy life. We also want such a life where we are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is our second question. That is there anything which I can do so that I can join ties with Allah Ta'ala? I can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There should be some action for this also. So in one hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am Rahman, and I have made this Rahim, these relationships from my name, which is Rahman. And whoever joins these relationships, I will join that person with my own self. And whoever breaks these relationships, I'm going to break that person, I'm going to make that person distant from me. So that means whoever does Sila Rahmi, whoever joins these relationships for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join that person with him. And this is such a beautiful thing that all of us, we want to be joined with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. but we have ghaflat in this prescription. We don't use this. We don't practice this as much as we should. That person who does sila rahmi, who joins their ties with kinship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join that person with his own self. Allah will pick that person. You know, there are two ways you can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that we make that mujahida. We are trying to get to Allah ta'ala. We are trying to join ourselves with Allah ta'ala. And that's a difficult route because we are making mujahida, we're making efforts, our nafs is not under control. So even if, you know, there is no guarantee whether we'll be able to reach the destination or not. However, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's irada is that He wants to join us with Him, then there is no rukawat, there is no obstacle in the way. So there's nothing left. The path becomes very simple. When you're driving yourself, then you are on the seat, driver's seat, you have to watch out. You have to ensure that you're driving properly. But if you are being driven by someone, then you're relaxed, you're comfortable. You will know that you'll reach the end of the journey. You'll reach the final destination. Exactly in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join that person with Himself. This is what this Hadith Qudsi is mentioning. So Allahu Akbar Kabira. When we read stories, hear stories about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy picked and attracted people from this ummah. Bashar Hafi, he was an alcohol addict. Allah ta'ala's rahmah, gaze of rahmah fell upon him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him wilayah. Fuzail bin Ayaz rahmatullah alayh was a gang leader, bandit. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah fell upon him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him also one of his awliya. Similarly, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, he was a wrestler in this world. But Allah Ta'ala's gaze of rahmah fell upon him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him for this path of love and mahbubiyah. Question is that how does a person get this gaze of Allah's rahmah? This gaze of Allah's rahmah a person gets when they practice sila rahmi. When they join their relationships. When they maintain family ties. When they keep good relations with their relatives. So two big benefits that a person who wishes to have long age, the help of Allah Ta'ala, the barakah in their rizq, that person should practice sila rahmi. And then whosoever wants to be joined with Allah Ta'ala in such a way that Allah Ta'ala Himself joins, Allah Ta'ala picks that person and brings that person close to Him, then that person should also practice sila rahmi. In one another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made down a rule that, you know, if a person does good deed or bad deeds, a person will get the jaza in akhirah. But sometimes what happens, a person gets the effects of their actions even in this dunya. And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that act which has the quickest effect in this dunya is the act of sila rahmi. You know, the benefit of sila rahmi, one gets very quickly in this dunya. And how many times we might have seen that people who are fasik and fajr, people who are distant from Allah Ta'ala, their wealth is also increasing, their children are also increasing. Why? One hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that because they are people who do sila rahmi. Sila rahmi, whoever does it, even if that person is a sinner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in that person's awlad, Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in that person's maal and wealth. So even though they might be sinning, but Allah Ta'ala will put barakah in their wealth. Allah will put barakah in their children. Lots of time we see this, that parents themselves don't even pray salah. But their awlad, their children are very pious. Why? Because the parents used to practice sila rahmi. Sila rahmi is such a blessed act that even those who are distant, their risk also increases. Their awlad also increases. So once a Sahabi, he asked the Prophet ﷺ that I tried to do sila rahmi with my family, But they respond with qata rahmi. They try to sever ties. Any I do goodness with them, they respond with unkind words, unkind actions. So the Prophet ﷺ said that as long as you keep doing good with them, you will have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you. Yani Allah will continue to assist you. Allah's help, Allah ta'ala's madad, Allah ta'ala's assistance is with that person who continues to practice sila rahmi. No matter what the response is from the other side. So that's why in one of these the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of Qiyamah, the people who will be quickest to enter into Jannah without hisab and kitab. People who will enter into Jannah without hisab will be those who practice sila rahmi. So there are so many benefits a person gets entry into Jannah without any hisab, without any kitab, because of sila rahmi. If a person wants to get barakah in their rizq, they should practice sila rahmi. If a person wants that Allah Ta'ala should join that person with his own self, that Allah picks that person, then again that person should practice sila rahmi. That's why sila rahmi is a very noble, very virtuous, it's a very afzal action. In one of these it's mentioned that there are two steps which are very beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that step which a person takes to pray farz salah. And second is that step which a person takes to practice sila rahmi. And when they leave with this niyat that they want to help other people, they want to join ties with other, keep good family relations. So if they step out, whatever steps they take, this qadam, this step is very beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something to think about, that farz namaz, farz salah and sila rahmi, both are joined together in one place here. One can only realize that how beloved, how exalted this act of sila rahmi is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why the ulama, as they've mentioned, there are many, many benefits of sila rahmi. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself showers that person with his rahmah, with his special gaze of mercy. Then not only that person gets the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the whole house gets the rahmat. The whole household gets the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the whole community gets the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Then on the day of judgment, this person will be made to enter into Jannah without any hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the nekiyah, the pious deeds of such a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the musibati from such a person's life. And Allah ta'ala saves that person from bad ending, from buri maut. And if this person dies in a state of iman. And Allah ta'ala also puts barakah in that person's rizq. Allah ta'ala extends that person's age. And khud Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy and pleased with that person. And Allah ta'ala makes other people also razi and pleased with that person. And Allah ta'ala puts love in the hearts of other people around him. So these are all the barakat, these are all the benefits of practicing sila rahmi. And this is also khuluq, an attribute which was present in Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even before the manifestation of Nabuwa, once there was a famine in Quraysh, there was nothing to eat. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to his uncle Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and said that, "Oh my uncle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me some wusat in rizq. And I understand that there is famine around and people are very distressed. So I can easily do kafalat of some of your children. I can easily be the guardian of some of your children." So Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said that except for my son Aqil, you can take all the other sons from me and guard them, protect them, you can be their custodian. So the Prophet ﷺ, he took all the other sons and he gave them food and he did their kafalat until the famine ended. And this was before Nabuwa. This was the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ before the manifestation of Nabuwa. And imagine then what would be the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ after the manifestation of Nabuwa. Subhanallah. So sila rahmi, now there are different people in our lives that we have to practice sila rahmi with different categories of people, individuals in our life. First and foremost is our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that a person should do husn suluk with their parents. And that's why the Prophet said that in the pleasure, in the radha of the father, there is the radha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the displeasure of the father, there's the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Quran, very clear, open, simple words, then فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ, that don't even say a word of uff in front of your parents. In one of these Mubarakah, it's mentioned that there are three works that if a person does, that person will have a good ending. Yani they will have a moth on kalima. They will die in a state of kalima. First is that person who does khidmat of their parents, serves their parents. Second is that person who is very generous on people who are weak. Yani who has rahim, mercy on those people who are weak. And third is that person who does ihsan on those people who are below him, matahit, under his guardianship, his support. So whoever has these three attributes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant such a person a maut, a death on kalima. That's why in one of these, it comes that person who looks at their mother or their father with the gaze of muhabbah, one gaze of muhabbah, in return for that one gaze of muhabbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that person with a maqbool hajj, with one maqbool hajj. And Sahaba, when they heard this for the first time, they were very surprised. So it's mentioned that they asked that, Ya Rasulullah, what if he looks at his father or his mother multiple times during the day? What if he looks 100 times during the day? And the Prophet said, Qal, Allahu Akbar min dhalik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger, Allah ta'ala is greater than this. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give ajr, Allah ta'ala has this ikhtiyar that He can give reward multiple times. For even one gaze, every gaze a person will get the reward of one hajj. So that is why whoever wants to have barakah in their age, who wants to have barakah in their rizq, they should try to practice husn suluk with their parents. They should try to have sila rahmi with their parents. Ibn Abi Dunya rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned a very ajeeb hadith that the dua of a father in favor of his son is like the dua of a nabi in favor of his ummah. Allahu Akbar. And aage he mentions that the dua of a son in favor of his father is also accepted, like the dua of a nabi is accepted in the favor of his in the favor of the ummah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So this deen of Islam is a deen of love. It's a deen which wants to create this love, which wants to strengthen these ties of love. Then a person should also have sila rahmi with their mother. The Prophet ﷺ said that Jannat lies below the feet of the mother. And the Sahaba Ikram, they would also practice this. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he used to go home, he used to say salam to his mother. And then he used to make dua for his mother that, oh my mother, may Allah ta'ala give you jaza, just like the way you did my parvarish, my tarbiyah when I was young. And the mother, she was also such an amazing person that she would reply and say that, oh my beloved son, may Allah ta'ala also give you jaza for the way that you're treating me in this old age. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Once Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, her parents were unbelievers. And her parents came, so Sayyidina Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked the Prophet ﷺ that my father, my parents, they are unbelievers, so what should I do? So the Prophet ﷺ said that even though they're unbelievers, but they're still your parents. So you should have husn suluk with them. You should join ties with them. You should treat them well. And sometimes a person has this question that maybe our parents passed away and we were not able to do their khidmah while they were alive. We were not able to serve them. We were not able to fulfill their haq while they were with us. And now when they've passed away, what can we do? Maybe a person did not have that ehsas when they were alive. They were leading a life that was distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now their parents are no more present with them. So this one hadith of barakah, we are told that if our parents pass away, if the father passes away, then if we do husn suluk with the relatives of our father, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change our name from a disobedient son to an obedient son. This is very ajeeb, very beautiful, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us a compensation that we were not able to serve our parents while they were alive. But this is not, a person is not deprived forever. There is a way a person can compensate for this act, which is that while that person is alive, he should try to treat well those people who are the friends of his father. And if he can do this amal, then his name will be written written as an obedient son. And that is why the Sahaba Ikram, they would also practice this. It's mentioned about Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was the son of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, that every time he used to meet Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he would do a lot of ikram, he would honor him, respect him, meet him very gleefully, happily, with izzat, with respect. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he said that, Ibn Umar, why do you do so much ikram? Why do you respect me so much? Why do you go out of the way to treat me in such a way? So he said that you are one of the friends of my father. My father is passed away, and now I want to treat you well because that's akin to treating my father well. Allahu Akbar. Similarly, for a person who was not able to do khidmat of their mother, they should try to do khidmat of their khala, their mother's sister. And a person will get the same sawab. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that you should do husne saluk, you should treat well your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, and then those who are near to them. And then those who are nearer to them. And a person is supposed to have such relationships and value such relationships. Similarly, we are also told in our Sharia that we should do sila rahmi with our children. The Prophet ﷺ said, "The rihul waladi mirihil jannah," that the smell, that the perfume, the fragrance of a child is like the fragrance of Jannah. And this is again the khuluq of the Prophet ﷺ, that when Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala used to come to him, the Prophet ﷺ would very lovingly kiss him. Once there was a Sahabi, Akra bin Habis radiallahu ta'ala, who was sitting close by. He said that, "Ya Rasulallah, I have 10 sons, and I never show and express love the way you express love." So the Prophet ﷺ said that individual who does not show mercy towards other, then Allah does not do mercy upon them. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your heart mehroom, deprived of rahmah, then what can I do? What can I do? So to have rahmah in our hearts, to have muhabbah in our hearts, and to have muhabbah for our children. The Prophet ﷺ used to be praying salah, and used to be in sajda, while Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala used to come, and he used to climb on the back of the Prophet ﷺ while in a state of sajda. And the Prophet ﷺ used to prolong his sajda. And was such a long sajda that the Sahaba used to become surprised. They became surprised, and when Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu, he got off, then the Prophet ﷺ would lift his head from sajda and complete his salah. And later the Sahaba would ask, "Ya Rasulullah, you did such a long sajda that we thought that you were in some pain, or maybe some revelation was coming upon you." The Prophet ﷺ said that, "No, it wasn't nothing like that. It was just Hussain radiallahu anhu who was on my back, and that's why I didn't want to disturb him. I prolonged my sajda until he got off my back." Allahu Akbar. Once a Sahabi, he saw Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu and said that, "Your ride is so beautiful." And the Prophet said that the person who's riding is also so beautiful. This is muhabbat in our deen. This is this deen of love, this deen of mercy and compassion. These are the teachings that Shariat wants to learn, that Shariat wants to implement in our lives. Similarly, Shariat also tells us, teaches us, that there should be husnul suluk between brothers and brothers and brothers and sisters and sisters and sisters. Elder brother, he takes the place of a father when the father passes away. And similarly, the younger brother, he should do ikram, he should respect the elder brother the way one respects their father. And similarly, the elder brother, he should take care of his younger brother just like the father takes care of his aulad, of his children. Similarly, an elder sister, she has the rank of a mother. And she is supposed to treat her younger sister in a similar fashion. About daughters, the Sharia teaches us that if a person has three daughters and they raise them up properly, they teach them adab, then they marry them in a proper way, in a ma'roof way, they do husni suluk with them, then the reward for such a person will be Jannah. Allahu Akbar. For a wife, the Sharia teaches us, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ, that the best among all of you is that person who is the best towards his wife. And in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intercedes on behalf of our wives, that وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that you should do husne suluk with them, you should treat them well. And the Mufassirin have written underneath this ayah that whoever respects this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this sifarish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they treat their wife well in this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make hisab easy for that person in Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that day easy for such a person. This person was careful about my command in this world, then I will make that day easy for such a person. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that those who are close to us, our close ties, close relatives, we should also join relations with them. We should also keep good relations with them, strengthen those bonds of kinship. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to do insaf, to do ihsan, and to keep good relations with your relatives, to strengthen those bonds of kinship. It comes in Hadith Mubarakah that Halima Sadia's sister, Khala, she came to meet the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, as a way to greet her, he took off the chadar that he had and gave it, and he laid it on the ground and said that, "Oh, my mother, come sit on my chadar." Allahu Akbar. This was the amal, the action of the Prophet ﷺ with his khala. So Shariat teaches us that a person should do husne suluk with all their relatives. In fact, even with all their Muslims. In fact, even with animals. That's why in Hadith it's mentioned, irhamu man fil ard, that if you have rahim on those people who are on this earth, yarhamukum man fis sama, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower his rahmah upon you. And on the other hand, that person who severs relations with their relatives, this is a very big sin in the eyes of Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy with such a person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops his rahmah upon such a person. There are some actions, some amal, which become an obstacle in the way of Allah's rahmah. And this is very important for us because this is the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, in Shab-e-Qadr, Allah Ta'ala will forgive all the sins of all the people. However, there's some people who will not be forgiven, and one of them is that person who used to sever relations, who used to sever ties with his relatives, used to do qata rahmi. Now this is something for all of us to think about, that if this individual will not be forgiven on Laylatul Qadr, then when will maghfirah come for such a person? That's why it's very important for all of us tonight to be able to make this intention, that whatever disagreements we have, whatever disputes we have, we should try to forgive other people for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, to make tawbah of this. There is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that once the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his Sahaba at Hajjatul Wida. This was Maidan-e-Arafah, day of Friday, and the Prophet ﷺ said that if there is anyone who does qata rahmi, if anyone who does qata rahmi is present here in this gathering, they should stand up and leave. As a result, one young Sahabi, he got up and he left. Then after some time he came back and he sat down. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him then what happened. He said that, Ya Rasulullah, when you made this announcement that if there is anyone who does qata rahmi, they should leave, so I stood up and I left, because I had severed ties with my khala, with my mother's sister. And I went to her house and she asked me that, why are you here? So I mentioned your teaching to her and said that I have come here to ask forgiveness, to see forgiveness from you. And she forgave me and I forgave her. And now I am back. I did salah with her and now I'm back. So when the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he said that you have done a very good amal, very good action. Because that majlis, that gathering where there is even one person who does qata rahmi, then because of that one person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do nuzul of His rahmah on the whole gathering. Allah's rahmah, barakah, does not come upon that whole gathering. One can imagine that this qata rahmi, that individual who does this qata rahmi, he becomes so deprived of Allah's mercy. Imagine this is the ma'iyah of the Prophet ﷺ. This is the maidan of Arafah, the fields of Arafah, the plains of Arafah, the Hajjatul Wida, the day of Jummah. And yet this person will be mahroom, will be deprived of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And not only this individual is deprived of the mercy of Allah, but because of this individual, all the other people, the Sahaba, are also deprived of the mercy of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. And if you look at our own house, our own homes, this is something which is very widespread. Our societies, our maasha that we live in, it's very easy for a person to become upset with the other individual. There are fights between brothers, fights between sisters, fights between close relatives, people pulling each other's legs, people blaming others, smearing others. Sometimes there is hot fire between, there is hot war, sometimes there is cold war. And people, sometimes it goes all the way to Muqaddama, they're fighting Muqaddama with each other and they're going to court and deciding cases in court. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So if that is our society, if that's the state of our relationships, if that's the state of our homes, then how will the barakah enter into our homes? How will the rahmat come inside our lives, inside of our homes? We have blocked this rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. This rahmat wants to come inside our homes. Allah Ta'ala has given the remote in our hands, but we press the off button. The moment we sever ties with our relatives, the moment we practice qata rahmi, we're just pressing the off button on this rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. This is in our control. The remote is in our hands. And we ourselves are blocking this rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So we need to understand this. We need to realize the importance of this. Sometimes it's just because of our nafs that we're not able to forgive other people. It's just izzat. That if I go and if I beg forgiveness, if I take that first step, then I will just embarrass myself in front of the other person. That I will appear as if I'm lowly. I'll disgrace myself. I'll get this humiliation. I'll be embarrassed. But this is nafs. In order to get the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to oppose our nafs. And always we should remember that izzat and honor is not what we think izzat and honor is. Izzat is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what izzat is, and izzat lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who gives honor, who gives respect. And that person who practices salah rahmi, who joins ties with his relatives, that person will never get disgraced, will never be disgraced. That person will never be embarrassed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person izzah. When the first revelation came upon the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ was very anxious, he was very worried whether he'll be able to bardash, whether he'll be able to bear the burden, bear this responsibility of Nabuwa on his back. And he came back home and he said to Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي, that I'm fearful about myself, whether, I don't know, if I'll be able to bear the responsibility properly or not. And Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said to the Prophet ﷺ, she consoled the Prophet ﷺ. Allahu Akbar, what a beautiful wife. That she is consoling the Nabi of the Zamana. She is consoling the Prophet ﷺ. Allahu Akbar. And the words were also not very weak, lukewarm words of consolation. These were words of full of conviction and full of yaqeen. She said that, Kalla, that no way, Wallahi, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La yugdhikullahu abada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever disgrace you. And then what was the reason that she mentioned? Innaka latasilu rahim. Because you join ties with relatives. You practice Sila Rahmi. So that person who practices Sila Rahmi, who joins ties with relatives, that person will never be disgraced, will never get this embarrassment of you, or humiliation, will not get be'izzati in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person izzah, will give that person honor and respect. So that's why we should try to practice this khuluq inside our lives. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to make this intention tonight, that for whatever ikhtilafat, disagreements, disputes we might have had with anyone in our life, and especially with our close relatives, with our family members, people have hasad, people have kina, malice, spite, hatred, we should forgive them for the sake of Allah ta'ala. We should learn to forgive for the sake of Allah ta'ala. This is worth learning. This ability to forgive others for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And when we can forgive others for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, in return Allah Ta'ala will forgive our sins. So if we can inshallah learn to forgive others quickly, Allah Ta'ala will quickly forgive our sins on Qiyamah. And we should remember that the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person makes a mistake and he comes to you, he does i'tiraf of his mistake. He admits his mistake. And he wants you to forgive him. However, this person says that I won't forgive you. So then such a person should not come before me on Hawza Kawthar. I don't want to see that person on that day. I don't want to see that person's face. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is such a big statement. That the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if a person makes a mistake and he admits that he has made a mistake, he feels guilty and he wants to ask for forgiveness, but if the other person does not forgive him, then this person should not present himself before me on Hawza Kawthar. I don't want to see the face of that person. Is there anyone who can say that I won't forgive you? If a person says this, then they won't. The Prophet ﷺ saying that don't present yourself on Hawz-e Kawthar. So then we have to realize our situation. No husband can say to his wife that I can't forgive you. No wife can say to her husband that I can't forgive you. We have to learn, we are living in this world. Here people will make mistakes. Other people will make mistakes, we will make mistakes. But we have to learn to forgive other people for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes it happens that a person might have wronged you so much to such a degree that it's going to become very difficult for you to forgive that person. And your pain might be very, very genuine. Your pain might be very genuine, and your gham might be very genuine. You're sad, you're grieving inside. And it's very difficult for such a person to forgive the other person. Still, we have to learn to forgive that person. The best example that we find about this is there was a person from the household of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whose name was Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a young man and a member of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq's household, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq not only used to pay money also to support him, used to take care of him. Then when the Munafiqeen in Medina Munawwara, they started this negative propaganda against Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, they were slandered her na'uzubillah, and they started this whole propaganda campaign. There were some sincere Muslims who were also swept away in the negative propaganda. One of them was Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq found out, he was very sad. Because, you know, it was his own daughter. So there was double sadness for him. One, that he thought that he was my relative, a person from my own household. And second, I used to give him monthly income. So the expectation was that this person should have done goodness to us. But in return, he is slandering, putting tohmat on my own daughter. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, he thought, he made an irada, intention, that Miftah, I will not forgive him. That I will hold back my monthly income, I won't forgive him. And he was right in his intention, in the sense that he had some expectations. That when I'm doing this bhalai and goodness with him, he should also respond and reciprocate in goodness. Why is he doing this burai? Why is he putting this slander, putting tohmat on my daughter? So I won't forgive him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, is very azim. Allah ta'ala revealed an ayat in Quran, وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَسْفَهُ, that you should forgive one another, and you should live with love and affection with each other. And then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say next? That Allah tuhibbuna an yaghfira Allahu lakum. That don't you love that in return of this, that you'll forgive that person, Allah will forgive you. Don't you love that in return of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu heard this ayah, and immediately he said that I have forgiven Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I hope that in return Allah will forgive all my sins. Our Shariat is so beautiful. It's a step by step, it's teaching us, it's counseling us, that don't have hasad, don't be angry, don't have kina, don't have arrogance. And in the end, if there is no way out, you are truthful, you're right, the sadness, the grief in your heart, that's also correct, you've been wronged, injustice has been done upon you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I, your Rabb, say to you that you forgive your brother, and in return Allah will forgive all your sins. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Now, is there anyone who can say that I don't need the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are not angels, we are human beings. We are only hopeful of Allah ta'ala's maghfirah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to live with each other, with ihsan, with beauty, with husn mu'ashara. May Allah enable all of us to fulfill our hukukullah and all our hukukul ibad. This hasad, this bughuz, this malice, spite, it sometimes makes a person blind. And a person is blinded to what is right, to what is wrong. Person starts slandering other people, backbiting against other people. And they start ridiculing, degrading other people, deriding other people. And in that process, we destroy our own akhirah. In the world, maybe nothing might happen, people won't ask you. But on Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will ask us. Allah Ta'ala will do our hisab, and we'll have to give our hisab on that day. So we make dua that may Allah Subhanahu enable all of us to fulfill our hukukullah, hukukul ibad. May Allah Subhanahu enable all of us to join ties with our relatives. And in return for this, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is going to join His tie with us. What more do we want? That for so long we've been trying to come close to Allah Ta'ala. But we know that we don't have that mehnat, we don't have that struggle, we haven't made that mujahidah, we don't have control over our nafs. We are people who are very weak, weak efforts, weak intentions. But there's only one way left for us, that Ya Allah, we cannot come to You on our own. But Allah, if You can draw us close to Yourself, if You can pull us close to towards Yourself, if You can cast that glance of rahmah upon us, then Ya Allah will be with You. We'll get that taluk with You, we'll get the wasal with You. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala pull us close towards Yourself. Allah grant us that taluk, that qurb, that wasal with You. For us it's very difficult, but for Ya Allah, for You it's very, very easy. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala enable all of us to draw close to Him. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice Salah Rahmi. And may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala save us from Qatar Rahmi. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحان ربي العلى الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.